Ronnie looked around, eyes bright. "So," he said, "I'm still up for it. Nickel and point, who wants to play?"
"I will," Skip said.
"I will too," I said, never once glancing in the direction of my geology book.
"Hearts?" Kirby McClendon asked.
He was the tallest boy on the floor, maybe one of the tallest boys at school, 6'7" at least, and possessed of a long, mournful bloodhound's face.
"Sure, good choice."
"What about us?" Ashley squeaked.
"Yeah," Hugh said. "Talk about your gluttons for punishment."
"You're outclassed at this table," Ronnie said, speaking with what was for him almost kindness. "Why don't you start up your own?"
Ashley and Hugh did just that. By 4 o'clock, all of the lounge tables were occupied by quartets of third-floor freshmen, ragtag scholarship boys who had to buy their texts in the used section of the bookstore playing hearts at a nickel a point. In our dorm, the mad season had begun. Saturday night was another of my meals on the Holyoke dish line. In spite of my awakening interest in Carol Gerber, I tried to get Brad Witherspoon to switch for me. Brad had Sunday breakfast, and he hated to get up early almost as badly as Skip did. But Brad refused. By then, he was playing two, and $2 out of pocket. He was crazy to catch up. He just shook his head at me and let a spade out of his hand.
"Let's go bitch hunting," he cried,
sounding eerily like Ronnie Malenfant. The most insidious thing about Ronnie was that weak minds found him worth imitating. I left my seat at the original table, where I had spent the balance of the day, and my place was immediately taken by a young man named Kenny Oster. I was nearly $9 ahead, mostly because Ronnie had moved to another table so I wouldn't cut into his profits, and should have been feeling good, but I didn't. It wasn't the money, it was the game. I wanted to keep on playing. I walked disconsolately down the hall, checked the room, and asked Nate if he wanted to eat early with the kitchen crew. He simply shook his head and waved me on without looking up from his history book. When people talk about student activism in the 60s, I have to remind myself that the majority of kids went through that mad season the way Nate did. They kept their heads down and their eyes on their history books while history happened all around them. Not that Nate was completely unaware or completely dedicated to the study carols on the sidelines, for that matter. You shall hear.